Democratic candidates for Utah's vacant Senate seat square off in their only debate. The Utah Supreme Court finds parts of Utah's adoption laws constitutionally defective, and Utah students get a new standardized test. You're listening to the KUER News Pod for Wednesday, November 28th. I'm Brian Grimmett. Six Democratic candidates hoping to fill a vacant state Senate seat met in a debate last night organized by the Alliance for a Better Utah. The seat in Senate District 2 was left open by Ben McAdams, who was elected the Salt Lake County Mayor earlier this month. KUER's Terry Gilday reports.
The six candidates took part in the debate at the Utah Museum of Fine Art. Political reporter Max Roth of Fox 13 News moderated the contest and began by asking how the next senator will work with Republicans in the Senate. Democrats will hold only 5 of 29 seats in the next session. Former Salt Lake County Councilwoman Jenny Wilson touted her bipartisan approach.
Where I have been successful at the county was getting to know the Republicans I work with. And that's where I got things done. And, you know, you find out what motivates people. You find that common ground. You search for that common ground.
Questions about the future of Utah's Medicaid program were posed to candidates, including whether the state should move forward with an expansion of services. Salt Lake County Mayor Peter Caroon said the program should serve more people.
The federal government will be paying for 100% of the Medicaid expansion. It just makes sense to expand the coverage for Utahns who don't have adequate health care, and well, there's certainly plenty of them.
Education spending was also up for debate, and all the candidates agreed Utah should spend more money on it. Democratic Party Chairman Jim DeBacchus said Utah has trailed other states in funding levels for too long.
Including the District of Columbia, we're 51st in educational spending, and we have been there for 27 years. And the next state, it's not like a little jump. It's Mississippi, and they're $911 per kid more than ours.
The issue of gay rights also entered the debate. Nearly all of the candidates agreed gay marriage should be legal in Utah. But Syracuse City Attorney Will Carlson said that LGBT citizens still need some basic protection.
More fundamental is the right to be able to keep your job and be judged based on how you're doing your job, and be able to keep your home and be judged on whether you can pay your rent. You can still be evicted for being queer in Utah. You can still be fired for being lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender.
Along with Caroon, Wilson, Carlson, and DeBacchus, community organizer Robert Comstock and State Representative Brian Doty weighed in on the issues. Democratic delegates will vote on Saturday to elect a new senator to the District 2 seat. Terry Gilday, KUER News.
The Utah Supreme Court has ruled in favor of a Florida father who did not want his daughter put up for adoption here. The court found that Utah's adoption law was constitutionally defective in this case. KUER's Andrea Smartin reports.
Ramsey Shod has been waiting a long time to meet his daughter. She was born in Utah almost 3 years ago when she was put up for adoption by her mother. A trial judge found that Shod had acted too late to protect his parental rights under Utah's adoption law. When Shod's case came before the Utah Supreme Court more than a year ago, he argued that he filed his paternity papers on time, but that Utah negligently delayed entry of his petition in the state's registry. The Supreme Court finally decided that the earlier decision posed a risk of depriving a father of his rights.
It was like the first time I've ever actually had a tear of joy. I know that sounds weird, but I can't wait to see her.
But before Shod can see his daughter, the case must first go to a lower court for a hearing to determine if his paternity petition was received before the child's mother placed her for adoption. Shod's lawyer Daniel Drage is confident that they'll be successful.
We're excited about the opinion, the fact that the Supreme Court really looked at the constitutional implications and how due process can be violated through the Utah Adoption Code.
Drage says he suspects the legislature will have to change paternity notice requirements after this case. Andrea Smartin, KUER News.
A new kind of standardized test will replace Criterion Reference Tests, or CRTs, for most Utah students that take each spring. And Monday, state education officials announced they accepted a bid from a nonprofit company called American Institutes for Research, which will create a new assessment which will test students' understanding of the new Common Core academic standards. Unlike CRTs, computer adaptive assessments can be given multiple times throughout the year to monitor student growth and improvement. Judy Park is the state's associate superintendent of schools. She says education officials have been exploring this type of system for several years because it offers more than the CRTs.
Adaptive testing also is very individualized because the test adapts to individual students, and so you're able to get a more finer, detailed information about the student's abilities than you can with what's called a fixed form test.
Lawmakers last year put aside more than $6 million for a computer adaptive assessment system to replace the CRTs. Park says the new system will cost slightly more. The test will be taken in the spring of every year, but the board may choose to require fall and mid-year testing as well. Schools will continue to use the CRTs through spring 2013. Utah's new air pollution alert system has some health advocacy groups concerned. Under the new system announced Monday by the Utah Department of Air Quality, there will be fewer days that will trigger a red air action alert. That's a correction from what was earlier reported on KUER. Red days are considered unhealthy for everyone. In the current system, they are triggered when PM2.5 levels are at 35 micrograms per cubic meter. The new system raises the threshold to 55. Sharice Udell of Utah Moms for Clean Air says red air days are important for raising awareness about pollution.
I think that it will make the public more complacent. People's alarm bells will not be going off that we have an air quality problem. And without people's alarm bells going off, we will not be able to put as much pressure on our elected officials to address the problem.
Officials from the Utah Department of Environmental Quality say the new system, which includes more colors, is modeled after federal standards. Bryce Bird, the director of Division of Air Quality, says tomorrow's orange is yesterday's red.
Salt Lake County Council members have not been able to find much to change in Mayor Peter Caroon's proposed 17.5% tax increase. The Salt Lake Tribune reports the Republican majority council could only whittle down the increases by 1.3% after spending 3 weeks going through the budget line by line. That's about $5 a year on a $238,000 home in the county.
The Zions Bank Consumer Attitude Index showed its largest decline in its nearly two-year history, sliding 11.2% right after the election, indicating Utahns' huge disappointment with the presidential election results. It had reached record high levels the month leading up to the election. Randy Shumway is the CEO of the Cicero Group, conducting the survey with Dan Jones and Associates for Zions Bank. He says, however, any election letdowns are not reflected in national trends. Spending was up 13%. This past Thanksgiving weekend compared to last year, and that's the silver lining for Utahns.
We're going to see improvements in consumer attitudes going into 2013, and we're going to see an acceleration of our economy.
Shumway says the biggest unknown factor looking beyond the holidays is the so-called fiscal cliff and whether or not leaders in Washington are able to work together to solve the problem. Catherine Weller of Weller Bookworks in Trolley Square says her business contradicted the survey and was up right after the election.
What we mostly saw, I think, was just people feeling freed from the oppression of the election. What we heard a lot from people was how nice to be able to think about something else right now.
Weller says sales there are up for the year, but it's difficult to pinpoint exactly why, because book selling is in a state of extreme disruption right now.
And that is your KUER News Pod for Wednesday, November 28th. For the latest news and updates from around the state, be sure to check us out online at KUER.org. Until next time, I'm Brian Grimmett.